Church, or afternoon. What a privilege again to stand before you and bring the word of the Lord. Apparently, your pastor has set me up and I fell for it. But I am just so humble that God will really consider using me to bring his word this Sunday again. I am humbled by that. Amen. Well, I know we are still in the season of Valentine and there is a lot of love in the air. And today, I will be speaking to us on the title that says, In Love with a Liar. Well, I'll begin with an incredible story. A story, you see, is told of a beautiful princess born to a great king in a faraway kingdom of Veni. His Royal Highness, King Weya, the supreme leader of the kingdom, is both a powerful warrior and a mighty conqueror. There was never a kingdom as magnificent as his. Neither is there a king more honorable and noble than him. He is the very definition of wealth. His throne is mounted on a crystal sea, encircled by a reflecting rainbow. As he sits on his golden throne to behold the beauty of his throne. And where every wall is decked with jasper, and every street overlaid with the finest of gold. Flowers of every color line the streets, and as the golden harp played the most beautiful tune that could melt the hardest of heart and put a peaceful sleep to the most troubled heart. King Weya is not only known for his incredible wealth, but also his great wisdom, for there is none as wise as he is. Not even King Solomon, in all of his wisdom, can withstand him. And this beautiful princess, one day, while taking a stroll in the royal garden, she heard the sound of a horse, and she lifted up her head to see outside the wall of the palace a handsome prince seated on the most beautiful horse she had ever seen. At least, so she thought. Enchanted by his gentle smile and captivated by his elegance and grace, almost magically, she heard him call her name, Princess V. The sound of her name from his tongue was to her ear as the call of a lover. And one look to his face, she became enchanted by the magic on his lips. And although he was over the fence of the palace that kept her safe since the day she was born, suddenly, her heart began to beat faster as she thought of his embrace. Surely, he too must have come from a kingdom as charming as he looked. As he extended a hand to her across the world, but without question, she gave him her hand. My love, he whispered, beautiful as a doe and fair than the goddess. I know of a place more worthy of your beauty and a kingdom more greater than thine. For in your eyes I see the look of innocence and ignorance of what lies beyond these walls of jasper. Surely this is beautiful. But my love, there is a deeper beauty beyond these walls. And so Princess V left the protective walls of her father's kingdom to follow the charming prince, the ruler of beasts. True to his word, he took her to a kingdom where everything is magical, singing butterflies, trees of gold. And he told her, here, you are the goddess Let your heart be satisfied with every desire. Be drunk in the wine of your love. Take off your veil, my princess, and dance to your heart content. For here there is no rule, no limit, no walls to hold you in. Expand and explore your body, soul, and spirit. And here there is no right, no wrong, no truth, no lie, no judgment. Here you are God. And on he went, showing room after room, world after world, surrounding her with music and laughter and joy and drinks and feast. It was a never-ending celebration. And so she went on and on and on. But as she got drunk and lost in all of that singing and excitement and jubilation and partying and laughter, soon the sound of laughter slowly faded into mockery and jesting. And those walls of gold slowly begin to drip with blood, and the trees of gold begin to spew maggots and every filth that you can think of. And she heard the most gruesome and agonizing sound coming from every room and every corner within this palace. And almost like a dream, with the same magic that first captivated her when she stepped into that palace, that same magic, she began to hear the cries and the agony of pain and suffering and despair. And with one look at herself, and she saw her crown was gone, her beautiful white dress was gone. She was suddenly clothed in rag and filth, and her body that has been bathed in myrrh and the finest perfume since she was born, suddenly smelled awful, and she couldn't stand the smell of stench and filth coming from her body. And in a distance, she saw the same prince coming up towards her. She thought she recognized him. His face looked familiar. His voice sounds familiar. But there was something wrong. All the charm was gone. He was no longer so handsome. He was no longer elegant. In fact, this is a monster. A monster like the one she has heard of in stories that were told back in her kingdom, of a long ago monster that existed in the land of beast. And for the first time, it dawned on her, she had fallen in love with a liar. For The story of this princess is not much different from a lot of us. Sometimes in our lives, we fall for the same lie. We fall for the same lie spoken to us by this prince of darkness. The Bible calls him the father of all liars. And the Bible says lying is his native language. Truth be told, many of us never really see Satan as the liar. We never see him as that deceiver that is after our soul, that is after our inheritance, that is after the very thing that set us apart and made us who we are in Christ Jesus. Satan is after that thing. And so he comes in as an angel of light. And he comes in very calculative with all his strategies. And he articulates his lies. And he comes to us depending on our dispositions. His strategies are mapped out, carved out specifically for each one of us, depending on our disposition. Let's look at some of the lies that the enemy tells us. Of course, the entire kingdom of the enemy is full of lies. And we can never exhaust that. But I'll just put together a few of those lies. And those are some of the things that I believe the Holy Spirit ministered to me. And those are the things that I'll share with you today. Well, the first lie, one of the first lies I will talk about today is God is not who he claims to be. You see, he lies to you according to your disposition. To a believer, Satan might not tell you that there is no God because he knows you know that too well. Maybe to the world outside, he may try to convince them that there is no God. But to you who is a believer, he cannot tell you that. But so he will try to tell you to get you to doubt God. Because if he can get you to doubt that God is not who he says he is, that is as good as saying he doesn't exist. Numbers chapter 23 verse 19, where we had our scripture reading, says, God is not human that he should lie. He's not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and not bring it to pass? Does he promise and not fulfill it? That is not the kind of God we serve. Amen. Psalms 103 verse 8 says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. And when Moses had an encounter with him, the Bible says that he passed across Moses and was proclaiming, the Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love for a thousand generations, and forgiving wickedness and rebellion. But Satan will not tell you that. The second lie Satan will tell us is there is no absolute truth. There is no absolute truth. He will rather have us believe that truth is subjective. You know, what might be true to you might not be true to me. Rightly so. But when it comes to the Word of God, We know that there is one truth. And we know that that truth is preserved in the Word of God for us. God's Word is truth. And it's not changeable. It's infallible. It doesn't depend on your view. It doesn't depend on times and seasons. It doesn't depend on whatever you think of it, whether you believe it is there or not. God's truth is just there. Nothing can move it. And that is why David said in Psalms 119, all your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. In John 17:17 says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So, friends, if you have doubt on the truth of the word of God, then that you have no foundation, because that is the foundation of our faith, the truth of the word of God. And that is, Jesus himself is the embodiment of truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. Now, if you doubt that truth, then you are doubting the very foundation of your faith. Amen. Lie number three that Satan will want to have us believe is that God's love is too restrictive. He will tell you that God's love is too restrictive. It's okay that God loves you. It's okay that God loves you. But somehow it's restricting you from enjoying the good life. But in Galatians, Apostle Paul tells us, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. But Satan will want us to go within, out of the boundaries of the freedom that God has given us. He want to tell you that, you know, if you remain here, if you remain as a child of God, you've lost your freedom. Because you're not free. You're not free to lie, to cheat, to curse, to steal. You're not free to be immoral. It's too restrictive. Don't fall in love with a liar, friends. Lie number four. Satan will tell you, you've gone too far. Your sin is beyond redemption. You've gone too far. You cannot be rescued. Now, Satan might not tell you that there is no salvation. Because you see, he knows the truth. He cannot deny what happened at Calvary. Because he knows the Bible better than a lot of us do. Romans 8:1. He knows that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But he will tell you that your sins are way too much, way too great, that God cannot forgive that. But friends, don't fall for it. The Bible says God is abounding in love and compassionate, and he forgives. That is a lie of the enemy. He tells you this lie so that you can remain under the captivity in his yoke, under guilt and condemnation. Another lie Satan tells you is you have to work to earn your salvation. Now, a lot of us have fallen victim to this lie. This has been a sneaky, deceptive lie. And it has really worked so well into the believing life, into a believer's life, because it is so smoothly concealed. And that is why James has always been a point of controversy. Because Satan wants you to believe that as good as salvation is, it is too good to be free. It surely can't just be free. How could Jesus die on the cross and all the pain and agony he's gone through, and you, fallen humanity, with sin and filth and dirt, how could God go all the way to that extent for you, just for free? But scripture says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, so that no one can boast. No one can boast. Ephesians 2:8. So don't fall for the lie of the enemy. You don't have to earn your salvation. But you serve God and you do the acts of righteousness and the works of righteousness because you have been saved. Those cannot save you. But you do them because you have been saved. Amen. Another lie that Satan tells you is, because God loves you, you can do whatever you want, you will still end up in heaven. And this is another sneaky lie again. Because it's a clear deception, a mixture of the truth and a lie. Truth is, God does love you. And God does love you with an eternal love. But because he loves you and he saved you, you can no longer live in the way of life that you used to live before. And Satan may even tell you that, you know, even scripture validates that. God wants you to just enjoy life and you just, the fact that you've been saved, you just go ahead and do that and you will end up in heaven. He probably will quote Ecclesiastes 11:9 to you. You who are young, be happy while you are young and enjoy your heart. Give yourself joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eye sees. Enjoy. You're young. You don't have time for religion. You don't have time. Those things are for your parent, for the elderly. You're still young. But he will never tell you the latter part of that scripture that says, but remember that for all these things, God will bring you to judgment. Don't fall in love with a liar. Lie number 7 this morning that I will mention is, you have plenty of time to obey God. You had plenty of time. Now, I'm not talking, bear in mind that I'm talking to believers. I'm talking to us believers. So the scheme of the lies of the enemy towards us are well orchestrated and well planned out. And so he will tell us this lie that says, you have plenty of time. And like Huff puts it, the demons, when time had a meeting in hell, and when demons said, they had a meeting on how to deceive believers, and one demon said, let us tell them that the Bible is not true, and the devil said, that will not work, it won't work for a long time, and the second demon said, let us tell them that Jesus is not Lord, and Satan replied, that will only work for some times too. An older demon thought for a while and said, let us say that the Bible is the word of God and Jesus is Lord But let us convince people that they have all the time in the world. And the devil loved this idea. And unfortunately, this is so true. A lot of us feel obeying God can wait. Doing what God wants us to do can wait. I will serve Him when I'm done with my education. I will serve Him when I get a little bit of more money. Right now I'm working on a project. We're building a house. No, as soon as we get the house done, we will devote our time to God. Right now I'm raising children. As soon as my children are grown up, I will devote my time to God. But 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation." In Psalms 95 says, "Today, if only you will hear His voice, do not harden your heart." The same goes to us who are believers. It's not just to the outsiders. It's not just to the non-believers. I pray that today we will not fall for that lie of the enemy. Amen. Lie number 8 that I will be sharing this morning is, Satan will lie to you that Jesus is not coming back anymore. Because it's been way too long. It's been way over 2,000 years and He's still not back. And so, He will cause us to doubt that. And even though all the prophecies spoken concerning Jesus and God in the Bible is being fulfilled in our very own eyes, but He will tell us that that is not coming to pass. Again, it will stem up from that lie of you have all the time. James chapter 5 verse 7 to 8. He says, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crops, patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rain. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near." It's near. Again, it says, our salvation is nearer now than when we first believe. The Lord is coming back. Surely the Lord is coming and He will come to judge, amen, the living and the dead. Another lie, very quickly, my time is up, but another lie that the enemy will tell us is that church is not important. Church is not important. He will tell you that, you know, you can stay in your room and just watch videos and listen to sermons and do your little praise and worship and you're totally cool. But Hebrews says, don't give up meeting together, as some of you are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see that the day is approaching. Because the day is approaching, you need each other. You need to be together. We need to encourage each other and be building each other. So you cannot practice Christianity in isolation. So don't fall for that lie of the enemy. The final lie that I will mention this morning is that God is boring. Satan would like you to believe that God is boring. And following His word is just too hard and you will never have any fun. But that is completely the opposite. It's completely a lie. Because how could God be boring? Just think about the creation. Think about all the things that are in this world. The colors, the light. Just think about the race, the people, the abilities that God has given us. Each different with different abilities. You know, just Look at the seas, the ocean, the sky, the galaxies. How could a boring God have created such things? But Satan won't have you believe that, because he's a liar from the beginning. Bible says he is a liar from the beginning. And his ultimate aim, Satan's ultimate aim, is to kill, steal, and destroy. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But God comes that we might have life and have it to the full. I challenge you today. Fall in love with the truth. Jesus is the truth. And in him, there is no darkness at all. There is no lie at all. Jesus is the truth. He is the way. And if we are in love with the truth, if we are in love with the truth, we will not fall for Satan's lies, because the truth will expose these lies. The truth of the Word of God will expose the lies of the enemy. My prayer today is that we will not give in to those lies, and we will stand true to our Lover, the Lover of our soul, our faithful Redeemer, our merciful and compassionate God, our loving Father. Yes, He is just and righteous. Yes, He is a consuming fire, but He is a passionate Lover. He loves us with an everlasting love. Fall in love with the truth. Amen.
Oh, glory, hallelujah. God has spoken again to us. Let him that has ear hear the word of the Lord. We thank God for using his vessel to bring this live word to us. Don't fall in love with a liar. Don't fall in love with the enemy. Don't fall in love with the devil, with Satan. You may not see him directly, but he may come in different clothing, in different styles. Be smart to detect him, and you need the power of the Holy Spirit to help you censor him, to help you identify him. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Beloved, as the woman of God read in Numbers 23 verse 19, God is not a human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? By the way, why would God want to lie to us? What will he gain by lying to us? He lacks nothing. After all, he made everything and never runs short of anything. All creation, visible and invisible, submit to him and tremble at his judgment. Hallelujah. That is my God. That is your God. That is our God. Give him praise. Brothers and sisters, do not trust in princes, in mortal men, in whom there is no salvation. Neither trust in any angel or any other deity, but Christ, the author and finisher of our salvation. The word of God in Lamentation 3:37 says, who has spoken and it came to pass? Unless the Lord has ordained it, anything that comes to you, know that God has allowed it, because he will never allow anything to come to you that is beyond your ability and power to stand true. Therefore, trust in him that when he speaks, it comes to pass. You have listened to the word of God today, brothers and sisters. Have you fallen to the lies of the enemy, Satan, mentioned here today? Remember John 8:44 says, there is no truth in him at all. He's a murderer from the beginning. He's a liar and the father of all who lies. When he speaks his native language, lies. It is not what the enemy says or wants you to believe. It is not what the world says. It is not what the job, your job or your boss says. It is not what the outbreak of disease says. It is not what your color of skin says. It is not what your culture, your tradition says. It is not what the economy says. It is not what the pastor, prophets or anyone says that matters. Let them all be liars and only God be true. It is not what your feeling or imagination says. It is not even what you see or understand. It is not about what you fear. Let them all be liars and only God be true. It is what the word says that matters. It is what the word says that counts. It is what the word says that is true. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is love. And his love never fails anyone that believes and trusts and obey him. Love is not a feeling you feel when you feel you are going to feel what you never felt before. We have this assurance. If God gave his son for us, for you, be sure you are what his protective powers. Hallelujah. He said he will never leave you nor forsake you. He said no harm will come near your dwelling. He will rebuke the devourer for your sake and will always work for the good of you. Oh, glory. He is your helper, the ever-present help at all times. He said, cast your cares upon me. I care for you. He will even do more abundantly than you could ever ask or imagine. If this is your God, if this is my God, why should I fear man? Why should I trust in another person? Why should I trust in the lies of this world? Hallelujah. As you go forth, brothers and sisters, children, in the house of the Lord, be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. I commit you as you go forth to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority to Jesus Christ our Lord before all time and now and for all eternity. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen.